no need to fear. Underdog is here.
D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's Thursday at noon, which means it's time for Silly Underdog Picks. I now turn the floor to Commissioner Willie D. How did we find this song, by the way?
You've told the story, but
I can't remember.
My brother Reese discovered this. I have no idea how he found it. My brother can really work out to the fringes and find the nuggets, the gems, the hidden gems. And he sent me this one day. He was like, "You've got to play this on your show." I was like, "What is it? What is it?" It's an early 70s movie about this guy who happens to be a pimp.
Yes.
It just happens to be. I'm sure it's a very interesting movie. I have not watched
just
it.
Just like you, Willie. You're very much a pimp.
In the broadcasting world.
Yeah.
He's that dude.
You're a broadcasting pimp. Yeah.
He's that dude.
That being said, this is your commissioner speaking. Willie D. It's Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, the Pearl Anniversary, a tradition that goes back 30 years now on Nashville Radio. A shout out to our man, George Plaster, the founder of the Silly Underdog Picks.
Oh, my goodness. So, I'm sorry, Willie. I'm sorry. I just thought of something in my head as you said volunteers, hose and gaskets.
I know what you're thinking.
Oh, boy.
Pimping ain't easy is what Derek's thinking right now.
But go ahead. I'm sorry, Willie.
Let's welcome our contestants to the microphone once again. We've got Adam and D-Mace here. On the phone, we have, of course, the suit, Chase McCabe.
Suit.
Say hello, suit.
I'm just sitting here going, where is Derek taking this? I just, you know.
We stopped it, suit. Yep. We stopped it.
Yeah, you did.
And we have the leader in the competition from over at Montgomery Bell Academy, the forever Titan and the former Ohio State Buckeye, Chris Sanders, is with us.
They don't recognize him no more after what he did last week.
Hey, can I always ask this question?
You have a question.
Hey, I have a question. Say aye if you have some points.
I hate you.
I'll say aye in favor of the people. I'll say aye in favor of the people.
Oh, man.
So, that kind of gives you a little bit of the tone of where the competition has gone so far this year.
Sideways for some of us.
But it's only been 5 weeks, so let's recap what happened in week five. Chris Sanders, who came in as the leader in the competition with 25 points, a very, very controversial pick. He selected Derek Mason's Michigan State Spartans, a 23.5-point home dog, against Chris Sanders' own alma mater, his beloved Ohio State Buckeyes. A very big-time mind game that he tried to play on his former teammate and good friend. Chris, I happen to be up in Ohio, not far at all,
from
Columbus. So I was surrounded by Buckeyes, my aunts and uncles. They were all watching the game. And I explained to this. And they all remember you, Chris. I mean, they are diehard Buckeyes here. And I explained the rivalry between D-Mace and Chris Sanders. They could not believe that somebody with your credentials, your disposition, would do that. Pick against your alma mater. You picked against
Chris,
your alma mater.
Chris, I have to ask, did somebody from Ohio State come to rescind all of your Buckeye stickers?
Yeah.
Let me see your helmet. Let's peel off all of those stickers one by one.
Oh, man, it was bad.
Did you get any stickers?
Oh, wow. I got four on there. Four Buckeyes.
That's all you got was four Buckeyes in the helmet?
Four Buckeyes.
Wow.
All the times we beat Michigan State, you got four Buckeyes.
So what he was trying to do was put D-Mace in a tough spot to have to sort of root against his alma mater, which he can't do. But it really didn't matter because Ohio State took full control of the game early and took the Spartans to the woodshed. 38-7 was the final, and it could have been worse. They kind of put it on cruise control in the second half.
It was bad.
But D-Base, the silver lining is Chris didn't get any points.
Yeah, he didn't get any points. That's all I cared about. I mean,
I knew,
like, listen, I knew my team. I know my team. And I knew they didn't have a chance, you know, to win that game. But I wasn't going. I wouldn't have picked, like you, I wouldn't have picked them.
You wouldn't have stooped to that level.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, no. That's,
pick against
you
your
just don't
mind.
Do. Yeah, you just don't do that.
So you're making a declaration. You will never pick against
the Spartans.
No, I would
never. I just won't pick them at all. But I will never pick against the Spartans, ever.
Okay. So, Chris, I hope you feel good about yourself, but you didn't get any points.
I do.
All right. Chase McCabe, the suit. Only 2.5 points behind Chris Sanders in the competition. He went down to Jerry's World and selected Arkansas, a 4-point dog against Marcel Reed from Montgomery Bell Academy, where Chris Sanders was his assistant coach. And now he's doing a great job for the Aggies. Arkansas played tough against A&M, but the Aggies pulled it out 21-17. So, Chase, close, but no points for a cover in our competition.
Nope. I called the Hogs, and I thought it was going to be a good call, but it didn't work out. So
they didn't call back.
Try again.
You called.
Week.
They didn't call back.
They didn't call. No, they did not.
It was a heck of an atmosphere, though. They had a lot of people in that building.
Sounds like my love life before I met my wife. I called. They didn't call back.
You must don't have the phone Gino has.
Good game. Great crowd. But, of course, the underdog in our competition must win outright. Chris, real quick, just give us a little insight on Marcel Reed. This is a great story. You know, obviously, he was a huge recruit. He could have gone a lot of different places. But he's had to sort of, like a lot of quarterbacks, sift through all the transferring and everything. And he's got his shot, and he's making the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a great job. I mean, I say this all the time, is he just trusts what the coaches are teaching him. And when he gets his chance, he gets in there. It's the same thing when he was at Montgomery Bell Academy. He had to sit for a little bit, but when he got in there, he seized the opportunity, and that's exactly what he's doing down there at Texas A&M.
Yeah, he gave y'all an opportunity to win, unlike this year.
Hey,
you know who's undefeated? Hey, you know who's undefeated?
The Tigers, in the word.
If we beat y'all in the playoffs, I'm knocking on your door.
If was the fifth, all three of us would be drunk, okay? Or if was candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas, all right?
Ifs and buts.
Oh, my God. That's cold, man. That's cold.
Adam Vingan, still looking for his first win in the competition, came in at 0-4, and he's been right there with all his picks. And this was no exception. He took Northern Illinois. Yes, that's the team that won at Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They were a 6.5-point dog at NC State. Had to figure they had a chance, and they did. They were right in it. Very close throughout, but fell 24-17. It was 17-14 at the half. A little lower scoring in the second half. But the Huskies fell short. Adam, still winless after 5 weeks.
It's getting tough out there. It's getting tough out there. I'm hopeful that my pick today will come through for me this week, but as you said, I have come close multiple times. The only game that I have chosen so far that was a blowout in the wrong direction was Western Kentucky against MTSU, which is, again, why I'm out on Derek Mason's, because that Derek Mason let me down. This Derek Mason let me down the following week with Michigan State and Boston College. So, again, this Derek Mason and I only speak from 11 to 2, Monday through Friday, when I'm contractually obligated to have a conversation, and then that's it.
Speaking of D-Mace, he had the fourth pick, also winless. The defending champion still trying to get on track. He went to the Big Ten and selected the Terps. Man. Maryland, a 7-point dog at Indiana, who came in playing at home 4-0. Maryland was right there. They were matching them score for score. They tied the game at 21 in the third quarter.
And the wheels fell off.
And the 5-0 Indiana Hoosiers prevail 42-28.
Yeah, I thought Maryland.
They're the twerps.
Yeah, you're right about that. I thought they were going to be able to pull that one out, man. That once they tied the game up, it just seemed like everything just started to go downhill. Turnovers and everything else. So there wasn't nobody really playing defense in that game, but Indiana played a little bit more defense than Maryland did.
The people, shout out to them, Wes representing, selected Bama. And he went with a strategy of, hey, I'm trying to win tickets. I don't care if it's a 2-point dog or a 22-point dog. So he took Bama, who were just underdogs by 2 against Georgia. And, of course, that was one of the great games played in college football in the last several years, an epic one. And Bama did prevail. So Wes won the tickets, and he will be heading to the concert, headlined by Tretch.
Are you sure it's Tretch? It's not Treach?
Hey, moonwalk slowly. Moonwalk slowly.
Naughty by nature. Adam learned a lesson last week about how to pronounce things, and okay, we had some fun with that. So now let's move on to week number 6. Right now, Chris Sanders with 25 points in the lead. 22.5 for Chase in second. The People with 8.5. Adam and D-Mace in a tie for third. Or
with
tie
zero.
For fourth,
with
actually.
Zero.
A tie for fourth with zero.
With zero. Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's the order. Chase McCabe will pick first, so the suit will lead it off. Adam will pick second. D-Mace third, followed by Chris. And then we'll get the People's pick on the other side. By the way, if you want to make the People's pick, call up right now. You can jump in on the line and hold 615-737-1025, and the prize is...
Okay, I made sure that I'm pronouncing this correctly. If the People's pick is correct this week, you win a pair of tickets to see Jeff Lynn's ELO at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, October 11th. A pair of tickets to see Jeff Lynn's ELO at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, October 11th.
All right, Adam Quiz, do you know what ELO stands for?
Absolutely not.
ELO?
Oh, just checking on that. Nick? You're an old soul. You don't know?
ELO.
Jeff Lynn?
Electronics.
I do.
Loud.
You're close.
I don't, yeah.
You're on the right.
Yeah.
Electric.
Electric.
Chase has got it. Chase knows. He knows this classic rock.
Classic
you gonna help
rock.
Us out, Chase?
Light Orchestra.
The Electric Light Orchestra,
so
yes.
You can win a pair of tickets to see Jeff Lynn's Electric Light Orchestra at Bridgestone on Friday, October 11th, if you are the People's Representative and you pick correct.
So you can so see the age gap here.
So there are lights involved in the show?
Tretch won't be there.
I'm told the lights are very cool at this. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Chase McCabe leads us off the suit in week 6.
All right, so the game that I have selected, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little confused by this line, which worries me, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Taking place in Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday night, the Duke Blue Devils at 5-0 are
Son of a... Tretch.
Son of a Tretch.
Oh, my God.
Or son of a Treach. Okay.
Blue Devil.
Oh, my gosh.
That was Nine-point dog on the road at Georgia Tech. Hmm.
Duke is a 9-point dog on the road at Georgia Tech, who's been an interesting team that has showed up in a lot of these games. Remember back in Ireland, they started Florida State on the downfall in Dublin with a big win. So they've been pretty steady. Duke, a 9-point dog at Georgia Tech at Bobby Dodd Stadium. That is on the ACC Network Saturday night at 7. That brings us to Adam Vingan.
I'm out. That was my pick.
That was his pick. He's not happy. He's got to go to option 2. Duke, by the way, 5-0. But Adam, he wouldn't be paying much attention because he only cares about Duke basketball.
Countdown to craziness tomorrow, by the way, for Duke basketball. But yes, that was going to be my pick. That was going to be my homer break glass in case of emergency pick. Duke against Georgia Tech. But at this point, that's fine. I need to get on the board. I just want to win. I've been trying. I feel like most of my picks have been in the 7 to 10 range, but I'm just going to try to pick one to get on the board. I am going to take Missouri against Texas A&M on the road. Missouri +2.5, number 9 at number 25. I'll take the Tigers 2.5.
I think this is going to be a really good game. Texas A&M hosts Missouri, and the Tigers are 2.5-point underdogs, despite the fact that they are ranked 9th. This will be their first game since the double overtime thriller against Vanderbilt out at Columbia, Missouri 2 weeks ago. But this game is going to be at Kyle Field at College Station. It is going to be rocking. Texas A&M has won the 4 straight games since losing the opener against Notre Dame, and they have since, of course, gone, as we just talked about, to the Nashvillian, Marcel Reed at QB. So a lot of intrigue for this one, and Adam's trying to get on the board. That brings us to D-Mace, looking for his first win after running away with the competition last week. He's got to dig out of a hole. Mm-hmm. He's trying to catch Chris Sanders. D-Mace, the floor is yours.
Go green, go white.
Man, if you don't like this song, something wrong with you. Okay. There was three games.
D-May seems very focused this week.
I noticed he's got laser vision. I wanted to go with my Spartans, but I can't watch the game and then them be my pick, too, because there's something about that that I just don't agree with. I want to be able to watch the Spartan game in peace. I think they're going to win versus Oregon, but I'm not going to pick them. Then I went to UT. I think that's going to be an upset down in Fayetteville. I really do. I believe. But then the Syracuse game, God, Syracuse and UNLV. Oh, so it's between Syracuse and UNLV. I'm going with Arkansas. I've seen Arkansas play.
We're calling the Hogs.
I don't think Tennessee, as good as they have been on defense, they haven't really been tested on offense. I'm going to Arkansas Razorbacks. I like their quarterback. I like what they're doing. They gave up the game against Oklahoma State a few weeks ago. I just think this is a good team, and I think they're going to give Tennessee their first loss. Tennessee was on a bye last week, so it's going to take them a minute to get going. So I'm picking the Razorbacks.
Arkansas is a 13.5-point home dog against the number 4 Tennessee Vols, who come in at 4-0. Very interesting. Arkansas is clearly better, and they've been in every game. But this is a tall order, but I do think that they're getting the fans back involved. They have pulled big upsets against Tennessee in the past.
I just think this is one of those games where you've been off, and you've had all that time to rest, and you know you're not going to come out as explosive in that first half, and Arkansas is going to be able to score some points. It's going to put them behind eight ball.
Suit?
0.0.
Did the suit tell you to play that? Was that? That's just your opinion, Nick? Suit, what do you think? Are you worried about this game?
I think Derek's crazy.
Okay.
I do.
Have you seen Arkansas play?
Yeah, I've seen Arkansas play. Have you seen Tennessee play?
Yeah, they haven't played anyone. Anybody that thinks Oklahoma is a good team, they're lying to themselves. Oklahoma has problems on offense. Their quarterback is horrid, okay? And Tennessee's defense made him look that way, and he was that way before he got into the game. So I'm not going to look at Oklahoma. By name, yes. But if you watch the production on the field, they're not a good team.
All right, that brings us to the leader in the competition. I'm very intrigued to see where he goes with this. His name is the Buckeye, Chris Sanders.
Hello. Oh, no. Ain't nobody looking for you. I don't wonder where you are. I don't care what you do. I hope you are lonely. Damn it. Shoot.
Hey, man, can I make my pick, man? Oh, my God.
This is what happens when you're down 25 to nothing.
Oh, my God. Now, y'all know I was going to go with this one. And they are right down the road. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going with Northwestern over Indiana. Plus 14.
So you're going against
They're right down the road.
The 4-0, 5-0, Indiana?
Yep.
Indiana is 5-0. Northwestern at 2-2 is a 13.5-point dog.
Where are they playing?
Let's go.
They're playing at home, right on the lakefront, Evanston, Illinois, against 5-0 Indiana, now ranked 23rd.
Do you think they have the best facilities? Because their facilities sit right off the lake.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's gorgeous.
They
nice.
Spent a ton of money
it's
on
gorgeous.
Yes. It looks really good.
It really is.
Chris, I thought you might go with the Commodores. I thought you were thinking about it. When you said right down the road, I almost gave the VU sign. I was like, yes, he's going for it. But then you twisted.
No.
Hey, Chris, you should have picked the UNLV Syracuse game, I'm telling you.
No, heck no. I was going to go with Stanford.
It's only 6.5, but it'll put you up even more.
Syracuse is I don't hate that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't hate it, but I needed more. So I went for Arkansas.
Yeah, I feel you. That's going to be – Tennessee going to blow them out.
Hey, can I change my pick?
Nope.
Okay. I just asked. Don't hurt to ask, you know. Don't hurt to ask. Hey,
a card laid is a card played.
That's right.
Hey, I
that
feel
is
you.
The rule. That is the rule in life and in underdog picks. All right, so speaking of that, let us review. Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, the Pearl Anniversary, 30 years of this fine competition. Chase McCabe, the suit, with the first pick, selects Duke, undefeated, yet a 9-point underdog playing at Georgia Tech, trying to get to 6-0.
I'm just going to say to Chase, you know, next time you sit in your office chair, just make sure you look behind you before you sit down. That's all I'm saying.
That was Adam Vingan. He's upset because he wanted to take Duke, and now instead he goes with Missouri, another undefeated underdog. 2.5 points at Texas A&M, a pair of ranked teams. Ooh. Tough test for Missouri. Big playoff implications here for them. If they can win this game, that would go a long way. So Adam trying to get on the board at 0-5 and goes for the short gainer. D-Mace also 0-5, but that didn't stop him from going big, trying to get back. And he goes down to Arkansas. The Razorbacks, 13.5-point dogs against undefeated 4-0 Tennessee, ranked 4th in the country. That would be a stunner. Let's see what happens. Arkansas is improving. And then finally, Chris Sanders, right now leading in the competition with 25 points, selects Northwestern, a 13.5-point dog in the Big Ten against undefeated 5-0 Indiana. Up next, it's the people's pick. We need somebody to call right now and represent the people, especially if you like ELO. That Adam did not hear of. He's never heard of them. They got great songs. 615-737-1025. You've heard some of the songs.
I'm sure I have. And the winner, if you are the people's representative and you pick a winner, you will be seeing Jeff Lynn's ELO at Bridgestone Arena next Friday, a week from tomorrow, October 11th.
Oh, that's going to be good stuff. All right, so those are our picks for week 6. Gentlemen, as always, good luck.
You know what? I just want to say I hope all of y'all lose. Really? Hope y'all have a bad weekend as far as silly underdog picks.
Chase, sleep with one eye open. We'll talk later.
All right, guys. Good stuff.
Peace out.
We will get the people's pick next. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. The sounds of ELO bringing us back. I have heard this song, so I am familiar with the work of ELO. And if Randy on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, picks correctly, he will be attending Jeff Lynn's ELO concert at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, October 11th. Randy, welcome to the competition. Who is your selection for silly underdog picks?
Okay, Adam, I'm going to take Rutgers plus, I think it's 7.
That is correct. Rutgers, 4-0. I guess that's the theme of the week. Undefeated underdogs. Chase took Duke. Adam took Missouri. Mm-hmm. Rutgers is 4-0. And so Randy, representing the people, is selecting Rutgers, a 7-point dog on the road at Nebraska, 4-1.
Man, at Tom Osborne Field.
Interesting game.
Very interesting game. And this game will be Saturday at 3 on FS1, Fox Sports 1. So, Randy, let me just ask. It doesn't matter what your answer is. No wrong answers. Do you like ELO? Are you fired up to try to win these tickets?
I'm a big ELO fan.
All right.
Okay. There we go.
So, he's inspired to make this pick.
I hope you win.
Well, Randy, good luck. Go Scarlet Knights against the Cornhuskers. We'll see if you are a winner. Thanks for joining the competition this week.
Okay. Thank you very much. Take care.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Randy representing the people.
Randy trying to improve the people's record to 3-3. on the season, which is would be three more wins than I have currently. I'm still really mad at Chase. As soon as I heard him say Atlanta, my stomach dropped. Oh. Like, you jerk.
That's about as emotional as I've heard you since you took over the show, like since you joined the show officially. It was an emotional outburst.
Well, I've just thought Duke coming off of a huge comeback win
against
the hated North Carolina Tar Heels, down 20-0, win 21-20 last week. Momentum on their side, 5-0, going to Georgia Tech. I said, I don't think Chase really cares about ACC football. He's not going to pick this game. Lo and behold, he indeed did. So I'm hoping that Missouri will get me off the schneid at Texas A&M. So earlier in the show, we were talking about Jeffrey Simmons. There was another Titans veteran player that I wanted to discuss, and that is Calvin Ridley. Because we know that Calvin Ridley signed a huge deal with the Tennessee Titans in free agency. 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. You know, he came here to be the weapon on offense for Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. And obviously, it has not gone that way this season. And I looked at some of his per-game splits. So far this season, compared to his season last year with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the difference between the numbers is pretty telling. For example, so far this season, Calvin Ridley is averaging 4.8 targets per game. Last season in Jacksonville, he averaged 8 targets per game. This season, he's averaging 2.3 receptions per game. Last season in Jacksonville, 4.5. His target rate, which is his share of targets divided by the entire number, you know, the total number of targets, 17.3%. So he has accounted for 17.3% of the team's total targets this season. Last season, 22.6% in Jacksonville. And the one thing that really did stand out to me as well is he did come here to be the deep passing threat for the Titans. 31.6% of his targets have been deep passes, which means the ball travels at least 20 yards in the air. 31.6, that's the third highest in the NFL behind Alec Pierce of Indianapolis and Roma Dunze of Chicago. Here's the issue. On deep passes, he has one reception on 6 targets for 40 yards. The one reception was the touchdown he caught against the Jets, which we discussed at the time, was the most statistically improbable completion of Will Levis's career. So all of that is to say, Ridley signed a big deal to come here because he wanted to be the alpha dog. And the Titans' quarterback problems do play a large part in this. Don't get me wrong. But I'm wondering what Calvin Ridley is thinking right now. He came here hoping to be that number one guy. His numbers are down across the board. How should he feel right now, Derek, considering what's happening at the quarterback position and the fact that he's not getting his statistically?
Wide receiver translator.
Thank you. We needed that. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You know, it's I'm sure he's a little bit frustrated because him coming here, he could have went other places, I'm sure. He probably could have signed back with Jacksonville, probably not for the money that he's getting now, but he could have signed back with Jacksonville. I think there has to be a little growing frustration with how the offense is operating, the quarterback, and himself as well. Because, I mean, there was a deep pass, a deep corner out that he should have caught. Make no mistake about it. He should have caught that, and it would have probably been a touchdown.
Was that in the Packers game or the Jets game?
I think it was the Packers game, the deep corner to the Titans sideline. They were going south. It was going toward the south end. And he stopped running for a second. He pulled up, and then all of a sudden, he tried to put it back in gear. And the ball was just out of his.
I think that was the Jets game.
It might have been the Jets
game. And I'm also
game.
Thinking about.
Yeah, because he ended up coming
he also
back and
made the great
deep,
catch
yeah,
the later catch. In the game.
Yeah, the probability of 0.00.
It was 16.5% completion probability. But I'm also thinking of the play against the Bears where Levis was affected the pass that he threw that we all thought maybe his arm got hit on the way.
Right, right.
That would have been a touchdown had it been on target.
But he just didn't throw it.
And then there was the beer ball later on the third and 15, the fateful play right before the punt block that changed everything.
Right, so one reception on six targets on deep passes.
So he
Calvin Ridley.
He has to be just frustrated with everything that's going on. Because when a team brings you in, especially at that price point, they're expecting you to have an immediate impact. Regardless of what the offense is doing or not, they're going to try to feature you because they got to justify spending that money. They just haven't been able to connect for whatever reason. He's dropped passes. The quarterback has missed them several times. He just hasn't really got in sync each and every game.
Which was something we were talking about during training camp.
Exactly.
Willie, you were out that week, but this was when Calvin Ridley said after practice that he didn't run through a route.
And
Derek spent 45 minutes screaming into the microphone. It was riveting radio.
Yeah, because you play how you practice. If you have great practice habits, then you will have those habits will translate to the field. If you don't have great practice habits, that too will translate to the field. And I said it. By him saying, oh, I slowed up, I wasn't running hard, I said you don't do that because that's what you'll end up doing in the game, especially if you think the ball's going to the other side. You tend to slow up a little bit instead of running your route full speed, knowing that on any given play, that ball can come to you. And what did he do in the Jets game? If you watch the whole play, he slowed up and then had to kick it back in gear, and he couldn't track the ball. The ball went right through his hand. So I'm sure there's some frustration with Calvin Ridley. I'm sure there's some frustration with Brian Callahan because, again, you brought this guy in here. I'm sure there's frustration with Carthon because y'all earmarked this guy as the guy y'all needed to be y'all number one receiver, and he's been anything but your number one receiver. You hadn't got the explosive plays that you thought you were going to get, hadn't got the touchdowns that you thought you were going to get. He doesn't have the catches that he thought he was going to be able to get in this offense that seemed to be a little bit more wide open, and they brought him in here to be the number one guy, and as the number one guy, you don't get targeted four times a game. Now, listen, a lot of that could be a byproduct of the quarterback because the offensive coordinator slash head coach doesn't feel he can open it up the way he wants to because the quarterback hasn't proven consistently that he can find the open guy. He's processing it a little bit too slow, and then when he finds him, it's a little bit too late. Or it's just like he's throwing overthrown balls. They have not been able to connect on a deep route, basically, in training camp nor during the season. And they're going to have to figure that one out because if they can't connect on these deep passes, man, oh, man, it's going to hamper your passing game because teams are not going to respect that you can get the ball down the field. A bunch of long foul balls means nothing in this game. Yes, he has a good arm. But if you can't connect accurately down the field, then that big arm means nothing. So right now, I'm sure Calvin Ridley is frustrated at him not getting the opportunities that I'm sure they promised he would get in this offense. They probably promised you will be the guy. They had to have promised him that because of the money they gave him.
I just want to point out one thing before we go to break. As I said, on deep passes, Calvin Ridley, one reception on six targets for 40 yards. The one reception was the touchdown against the Jets. Will Levis has two completions and three interceptions on deep passes this season. Deep passes being those that travel 20 or more air yards downfield. Two completions, three interceptions on deep passes from Will Levis this season. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game. D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game, discussing Titans and specifically Calvin Ridley. Dylan is on our phone line. I almost said in our phone line again. On our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, you?
Good. I actually had a question for D-Mace. So I don't know if you've ever thought about it or have tried, but have you ever tried reaching out to the Titans and thought about being like a wide receivers coach? And if not, do you think you'd ever consider that or even want to?
He makes way too much money working on this show.
Yes,
Dylan.
Why would he want to work with DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd when he could work with Willie Gunnick and Adam Fingan? Why, and Nick Frazier? Why would he want to do that? Seems silly to me.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan, for the call. No, I haven't. And I'm not. I'm sure they don't want me no part of their organization. But I just watch from afar. And I base it on my experience at the position. And listen, I could be completely wrong. I'm not saying that I'm 100% right in this situation. But when I look at who they were as an offense last year, and how they were looking for that number one guy, even though Hop was their number one guy, they needed a number one guy that could help push the ball down the field. So they go out and they get Calvin Ridley, and our expectations, everybody's in the city was, oh, they're going to be able to push the ball down the field, connect on Ridley, and he's going to be that prize number one that we have been looking for, number one with speed that we have been looking for since they traded away AJ Brown. But it has been anything but that. So I look at it from the standpoint of, if you're bringing him in, shouldn't you use him in that capacity? Somehow, it doesn't have to always be throwing the football. They ran a reverse with him. Do things like that, quick screen passes. It doesn't always have to be down the field. But once you start hitting some of these intermediate to short routes, these crosser routes, that will then open up things you can do down the field. And I'm not saying anything that Brian Callahan hasn't probably already thought of. Trying to get Calvin Ridley down the field. And I'm sure during this rest period for them, this week that they have, they will be working diligently trying to figure out a way to get their number one guy the ball down the field, because you got to justify signing him to the $20+ million that you did. If he ends the season with 700, 800, 900 yards, that was a total bust. And it wouldn't be all his fault, because I asked Adam to pull up some numbers at the break with Stephon Diggs, who came over from Buffalo, where he was the number one, went to Houston, where he's really the number three in the whole pecking order.
When Tank Dell play each other this
when
weekend,
Tank Dell is healthy, and Nico Collins, he becomes that slot third guy that they're going to look to get the mismatch. Right now, if you look at his production, he's damn near the number one. Nico's always going to be the number one, but he's like that number one B. And I'm trying to figure out, why aren't the Titans getting that production out of Calvin Ridley? Because he was brought here to be the deep threat guy and to be their number one guy.
To put that into context, I'm sorry, Willie, just to put Derek's analysis into context, because he asked me about Stephon Diggs. I said Calvin Ridley is averaging 4.8 targets per game. Stephon Diggs is averaging 8.3 targets per game. 6.3 catches, 8.3 targets per game for Stephon Diggs.
My only problem with this whole thing is I hate that it comes up after a game where the Titans stumbled upon a formula that worked really well for them, and they were praised heavily for, hey, they ran right at them, and this is what they need to do. They need to run it. They need to simplify, take a lot of load off of Levis's shoulders, or play game management with Mason Rudolph. This is a better way to win. The defense looks like it's pretty good. So this is their best formula. So when you do that and you only throw 16 times or 17 times, whatever it was, they didn't have to throw. You know, they threw it 17 times, probably didn't even have to do it that many times, right? No. And it was the scoreboard. If they were behind, it would have been very different. And then after that, everybody acknowledges that, but then they turn around and go, oh, wait, Calvin Ridley's not getting the ball. He's not getting the ball at all. What's going on? Why didn't they throw it to Calvin Ridley? Well, when you run it 40 times, you're not going to throw it to Calvin Ridley very many times.
But in the first three games of the season, they threw the ball more than 60% of the time.
Yes, yeah. And they threw it more to him than they did on Monday. That's my only point. I'm not saying this is a perfect fit. Everything's going to work out. I do think this is a work in progress, and I'm with D-Mace. This is probably a lot more a product of the inefficiency of the quarterback than some sort of plot. Hey, Ridley's not as good as we thought he was. But I've always viewed Ridley a little differently than Diggs. I don't view Ridley as a volume guy, and he's on a team with a guy that is a lot more like Diggs, a volume guy in D-Hop. And so we have asked the question from the start, how will all the pieces fit? And I still think they're working on that part of it. So I'm not too worried, because if you focus too much on, hey, we got to get bang for our buck for Ridley, we got to throw it to him more, you want the whole macro thing to work. You want all the pieces to fit. You want the offense to be efficient. And then as that happens, everybody is going to get theirs eventually. That's how I'm looking at it. But I don't like that this comes up after they ran it 40 times. It's logical why none of the receivers like their numbers. After that, D-Mace, you played in plenty of games like that for the Titans and the Ravens.
I'm less worried about, like, why aren't the Titans giving Calvin Ridley the ball? I understand what you're saying, Willie. The game plan they had worked well against the Dolphins. I'm wondering where Calvin Ridley's head is at, having signed a big money contract, probably under the assumption or the promise that he was going to be a featured part of this offense, and so far that has not really worked that well.
Corey Davis is a good example. People would always say, Corey Davis, he's the fifth pick in the draft. He only had 800 yards. What's going on? He's a bust. He's a bust. Corey Davis is a bust. 800. He never gets the ball. But Corey Davis had a nice role on a winning team where he might only get three targets a week, but he'd make two or three really nice catches.
But he wasn't guaranteed $50 million and paid $92
million over 4 years.
No,
but he was the fifth pick in the draft. There is an expectation that he was playing under as the fifth pick in the draft.
Yes.
That he had to sacrifice for the good of the team. So the key thing is here, we're looking for offensive success, and it's not individual success. Like, I think DeAndre Hopkins probably had decent individual success last year on a bad offense.
Well, I'm not saying that you're wrong in that situation, because listen, they had to run the ball last week in order to get a victory. But again, I look at it from this standpoint. If you brought this guy in here, you got to find a way to get him the ball. And I'm not saying force feed him the ball, but it has to be more than what it has been. And I think a lot of it is the quarterback. A lot of the problems that they're having as far as who's going to get the ball, how many times they want to get the ball, is the quarterback, because he's not reading the field the way he should read the field. He's reading a tad bit too slow. He's not trusting what he's seen. And then he's just making some bad throws on top of him not reading the defense the way he needs to be reading it. So, listen, it's going to come to a point where – because this is how the NFL and their fan bases is. It may not ever be Ridley's fault, ever. But you know who they're going to blame after it's all said and done? Ridley. He's a bust. They brought him over here for 20-something
million.
He's
overpaid.
He's overpaid. But in actuality, no, he's not. If y'all find a way to get him the ball, then he can prove that he was worth the money that y'all gave him. I'm tired.
So you think you can do it all, really, is what you can have a run-based offense, all of these other receivers that they brought in, and still get the ball to him more?
Yeah. You know who has a run-based offense? San Francisco. San Francisco has a run-based offense. You know who else has a run-based offense? Houston really has a run-based offense.
They do.
You know, so
that's fair.
You can be a
how many times did Mixon run at the first game?
You can throw the football, but still be a run-based offense. You can't do that in today's football.
You got to get first downs.
Yeah, you got to get first downs. But I just don't think Will Levis is playing the position in a way that it allows them to distribute the football the way they need to distribute the football, to make sure that I brought this $20-plus million guy in, I need to find a way to use him. He needs to be more of an impact in the game. And right now, other than that deep pass that he caught that had the probability of what?
16.5%.
He has been a no-show in a lot of, and I'm not saying it's his fault, but he has been a complete no-show. And a lot of it is not because of him. It's because of the quarterback and the offensive coordinator / head coach probably not having enough trust in the quarterback that he can just let him go. Because I tell you who has trust? C.J. Stroud has the trust of his whole organization. They had trust in him from day one. It wasn't like they were saying, we need to gain. No, they had trust in that man from day one, and he has proven all of them right.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, 1 week from today, Again, it's hard to believe that, but it's true. 1 week from today, the Nashville Predators open the regular season at home against the Dallas Stars. We'll talk to Hal Gill about what to expect from the Predators as they enter the final week of training camp. Really, it's the final week. Is training camp officially over, or are they still kind of in training camp?
Kind of, but the roster is now down to 25.
Either way.
So a lot of the bigger parts of the roster have moved on to their
right
destination.
We're down to the nitty-gritty as we approach the Predators' regular season opener. We'll talk to Hal Gill next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.